We had a wonderful home plate event. Appreciate those that prayed for it. We had 8,000 people come to Comerica Park on Saturday, April 27th, before the game. And players came out and shared their faith and a number of decisions for Christ. Just a great day. Guys were clear and bold. Players that shared were Torrey Hunter, Darren Downs, Matt Tuiasosopo, Ramon Santiago, Donnie Kelly, pitcher for the Braves, Tim Hudson, and then Frank Tanana. So just a great day where Christ was lifted up. I encourage you to do this. I don't know if I mentioned last time or not. Some of you may be familiar with John Piper and his ministry in the Minneapolis area. And John has a website called Desiring God. If you go to that website, when I was in Minneapolis when the Tigers opened up the season there, two of the players went to Desiring God and did a podcast, 30 minutes long. So if you go to that Desiring God website and want to hear two of the current Tigers talk about their faith, type in on Desiring God, Donnie Kelly or Darren Downs, and you'll get a 30-minute long podcast where you can hear these guys not talk about baseball as much as they're talking about their faith in Christ. I grew up, I've told you my testimony before, where I did not have a Bible. And so when I got a Bible, I had no clue even what Old Testament, New Testament mean. And of course, I learned pretty quick some of those things. But I want to look at a little different division in the Bible today. We have Old Testament, we have New Testament. The emphasis in the Old Testament is on what member of the Godhead. We talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. The emphasis in the Old Testament is on God the Father. And not that the Son and the Spirit are not mentioned, but they are there. But the emphasis on revealing God the Father, His character, probably the primary characteristic of God that's revealed in the Old Testament is His holiness, that attribute of God. Get to the New Testament. First four books are the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four biographies of God the Son. And there's the emphasis on the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. And then you get to the book of Acts, which we're recognizing and celebrating and touching on today, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so from Acts through the end of the New Testament, the emphasis is on the revelation, the working of the Spirit of God through His people in the church. And that's, if you've never just sat down and read the book of Acts, I encourage you to do it. What a wonderful book, talking about the birth, growth, and expansion of the church once the Spirit of God comes. Two key thoughts in that book are the power and the boldness that the Spirit of God brings to some ordinary men and women who are followers of Christ. And so that's the book that we will go to today. We're not going to look right in Acts chapter 2. We're actually going to go a little deeper into the book, but it's when the Spirit of God has come into the lives of these people. If you read the book of Acts, chapter 1 through chapter 28, it covers a 30-year time period, right from the ascension of Christ into heaven through till 60, 61, 62 A.D. And so it's about a 30-year period that it covers. Now, I want to show you a quick video clip, and I'm not sure, it may work, it may not, the audio's tough, and Tom, if it doesn't work through Tom, then I'm going to just try and play the audio on my phone, and it's a YouTube clip of Eli Manning. Eli Manning is the quarterback for the New York Giants, and he's doing a little kid's question and answer here, and this one child asks him two questions. I'm just concerned about the first question, about the technology that they use in a football game, in particular the quarterback's helmet. So, Tom, let's see if it works through you, and if not, then I'm going to try and do the audio just through here.
Tyler, I'm going to you now.
Eli, can you explain to us the technology that goes on in your helmet between the coaches calling plays and the medical staff when you get tackled?
Well, we have a lot of technology. Obviously, I have my offensive coordinator can talk to me through my helmet. I have a little speaker in my helmet, and when the play clock, before it hits 15 seconds, it starts at 40, so from 40 to 15, he can talk to me as much, and then at 15 seconds, it cuts off. And I can't talk back to him. Sometimes I wish I could talk back to him, but he just calls the play. He says, all right, Eli, here you go, and all trips right, 62 cafe, X plants, and so I'll relay that to the players. And, you know, sometimes I actually, you'll kind of see me doing this. It means I can't hear it, and sometimes I'm pretending I can't hear it because I don't like the play, and I want to call my own play. But he doesn't know that. They never know. So he's questioned me a few times, but I said I didn't hear the play. But and then the medical staff also.
That's good right there, Tom. Hey, first of all, let's give it up for Tom for getting that to work. Hey, thanks, Tom. I love that illustration. Quarterback helmet, wouldn't it be great if you could have a helmet with a direct line to God? But how many of us would be doing this? Yeah, I can't hear it. I'm not sure. I don't like that play. Or I want to argue back. We do the same thing, don't we? And we do have a helmet. And it's the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. And who, through the voice that he speaks to us, he guides us and calls the place for our life. The question is, just like with Eli, are we going to listen to him or not? And so we want to look at a passage today in the book of Acts after the Spirit of God has come and now indwells his people. And if you know Christ as your Savior, whether you realized it or not, the moment you trusted Christ, the Spirit of God came to live inside of you. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't you know your body is the temple or the house of the Holy Spirit? And so if you know Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, just like a quarterback puts on a helmet and can now hear how God's going to direct or wants to direct in his or her life. And so we're going to look at a passage in Acts chapter 16. Now, Acts chapter 16 is a pivotal moment in the history of the church because Paul, who's a leader, is on his second journey, a missionary journey. If you read the book of Acts, Paul makes like three distinct journeys, each a couple years long, visiting different churches in what we would think of as present-day Turkey or present-day Greece in particular. And as Paul makes these trips, he's deciding where he wants to go. And so he's on the second trip right now. And we pick it up in chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came also, and Tom, let's put that map up, if you would, please. Tom came to Derbe and to Lystra. So he's way over here where the numeral 2 is. Jerusalem's down here. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. Rome is off the map way over here. And so Paul is right here in these two sister towns of Derbe and Lystra. So he comes there, and there was a disciple there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. A couple things to note. Timothy's dad is probably deceased. The idea that he was a Greek, he's deceased. Also, Paul had stopped in this town, in the same area, on his first trip. So it's a few years later, he's coming back through again. So most likely, Timothy had heard Paul preach his first time through. And now he's coming back the second time. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, don't want to do a whole lesson on circumcision here, but it's really interesting. In the chapter before this chapter, Paul had been in Jerusalem with the other leaders of the church, Peter, James, and they had debated and argued about, should it be required of a non-Jewish person who came to faith in Christ to be circumcised? And the conclusion of the council was absolutely not. There's no merit in that towards salvation in Christ. And so now they're out on this trip, and Paul says, Timothy, come join us, but I want you to get circumcised. So what's up with that? We just went through all that. And the point here was Paul's reasons for doing that were not for merit of salvation, but it was so that he would be more readily accepted by those in the Jewish cultures that they would take the gospel to. And so, I don't know, Timothy, it's his choice. This is what Paul's telling me to do, and Paul's got to make a choice. Am I going to listen to Paul or not? We go on reading. verse 4. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them the observance, for observance, the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were at Jerusalem. So as they're going through all these cities, they're telling all their little pockets and churches of believers, hey, here's what we decided in Acts chapter 15 at the council in Jerusalem about salvation. And they're relating this message. They did not have the New Testament as a written word then. And so it was being communicated orally at that time. And so as they go, they share God's word through the apostles to these different churches and people. And look at the result in verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. I love that statement. And that statement is found like five or six times throughout the book of Acts, a statement exactly or similar to it, where the churches were growing in spirit, in character, and in reaching out to others. And here's what I learned. Here's the first lesson that I learned in chapter 16 of how the Spirit of God leads us. He leads us when we listen to godly people. In those five verses that we just read, here's what we see. We see Timothy listening to the Apostle Paul. Here's a guy who's older in the faith. Here's a guy who is a leader in the faith. Here's a guy who's preaching and practicing what he preaches. And here's Timothy, a young Christian at the time. And Timothy says, okay, Paul, even to the extent of getting circumcised, I'll listen to what you got to say, and I'll look to do it. Do you have someone in your life that disciples you? Or if you're older, and we always still need that, do you have someone in your life whom you're discipling and really opening up the Word of God and spending time with? I challenge you, that is a key component to knowing how God will lead you in your life and how the Spirit of God wants to lead you and work in your life is when you're with those further along in your faith and you're allowing them to pour into your life, and then you're doing the same for others. We had a guy in the Tigers years ago, and a dear brother in Christ. He came to Christ as a Detroit Tiger through an off-season Bible study that we did with him. And Tony Clark. Tony is a big, tall first baseman, and Tony now actually works for the Players Association, so he's still involved in the game of baseball. And Tony came to Christ in 2000. While he was playing for the Tigers. And I mean, there was a dramatic turn in his life. I would go into the clubhouse and Tony would keep a Bible right there on the shelf in his locker. And it was not uncommon for him to say, hey, come here, I got a question. I was reading something yesterday. And asked that question just right there. Didn't have to be in church, just very naturally asking. He's the only player that ever asked me, what does the Bible say about steroids? Isn't that a great question? And I took him to the verse, and we had a great talk about principles that do apply. And folks, that is true for every one of us in our lives. The Word of God applies to every area of our life. And so, if you want the Spirit of God to lead in your life as He came to do, then we've got to be willing to listen to the godly counsel of others. Paul is traveling to these different churches. And as he goes, we read it, he is sharing what just happened at the council in Jerusalem. He's sharing doctrine with them. That's got to get a little deeper right there. You know, we're going to talk about what does the Bible really teach about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, salvation, man, sin, eternity. Sometimes we shy away from those topics today, don't we? You know, just give me Christianity light. And we need to be willing to say, I want Christianity deep too. Okay, I want to go deep into the Word of God. And Paul's doing that, and the churches are listening. And when that happens, when there's a listening to godly leadership and godly people in our lives, the result is the same. There's unity within the church. There's growth among individuals, and there's growth numerically as we reach out into the community. Because people in the world see that and say, hey, I like that. That's pretty good. What did Jesus say? By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by the what? By the love you have for one another. Across ethnic, across economic, across gender, across age, generational lines. It's all together. We're in Christ together. And so we learn that we are led by the Spirit of God when we listen to godly people. One last thought here. We see that Timothy was also influenced by two other godly people in his life. Who were they? His mother and his grandmother. Women who knew Christ and poured that relationship into Timothy. I look out here and I see, I'm sure, how many grandparents are here? Okay. And so a number of grandparents and parents. Okay. And right on, so we got it all covered here, right? And we all have the opportunity to influence the lives of others. It's one of the, and I didn't really reread this, but a guy just came to my mind who is a friend of mine in another church, and he's a grandparent. And we were talking one day, and I don't remember the king right now, but if you go back and study the kings, there's a king there, a godly king, raised an ungodly son. But then he turned around and raised a godly grandchild. And sometimes we as parents may feel like, man, my kids have wandered some. Don't give up hope. Keep praying. Keep pouring your life into them. But then when they have kids, you have a chance, too, to reach that next generation. And I challenge you to be a parent, a grandparent, who pours your life into the next generations after you, whether they're family or whether they're just in the church. Pour your life into those next generations. Here's the second way that the Spirit of God is leading in this story. And we pick up the story now in verse number 6. And if you're a person who likes to underline or mark things in your Bible, I'm going to encourage you to underline and mark some words here. First, the word they. And we need to stop before we start reading. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Okay, Luke wrote this book. He's the same guy that wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he picks up the story and writes the book of Acts. Many call it the Acts of the Apostles. That's not a biblical name to it. It might better be rendered the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But Luke picks up the story from the Gospel and writes this book. By profession, Luke was a medical doctor, and that has interest and in, play into this story here. And so Luke writes the book of Acts. So when we read in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6, it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. If Luke is writing this story and he's referring to the principal people in the story, Paul, Silas, others with him, Timothy, as they, is Luke with them yet or not? No, he's not. He got related all this information later, but at this point in the story, Luke is not traveling with them. And so they go from here up into this region. They're working their way to the west. And of course, you know, here's Europe up in here, and here's Asia out this way. And so they go and they work their way into the middle of present-day Turkey. And Luke is not with them at this particular point. And so they is important. I want you to see the theys. And it says then, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So you see this little part down here? This is where they really kind of wanted to go. They were going to go right there and let's go preach down that way. There's Ephesus and some other. And the Spirit of God says, no, I don't want you going there. Spirit of God is leading them. Sometimes the Spirit of God leads us by saying what? No. Or not now. And so then we pick up, and it says, verse 7, and there's our word again. And they had come up to Mysia. They attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of God did not allow them, or the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So now they get up here, and they said, let's go up this way then. Okay? I mean, it's all water over here. We don't want to head there. And so they want to go up there. And now it says a little differently, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Okay? And it's still they. Luke's not with them yet. And then verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they come down to Troas. So they get right here to the edge. Their backs are against the water now. Where are we going to go? God didn't let us go north. He didn't let us go south. Where are we going to go? You ever feel that way? My back's against the wall. I don't know where to go. But the Spirit of God is there to try and lead us. And verse, so they're at Troas, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him to say, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, a lot about this. Who is this guy? What's this vision or this dream? Paul have some bad Chinese food the night before or what? Now, what's going on here? And so let's go a little further. Verse 10. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, and what's the next pronoun there? We. Who has now joined the group? Luke. So now, Luke was not here with them here when they were in Lystra and Derbe. He wasn't with them in the middle of Turkey here. He wasn't with them over here, up here. He wasn't with them. But when they got to Troas, now Luke, at the time of this vision, is with them. This is really important to know. Over here in Philippi, there was a big medical school where most people think that's where Luke went to medical school. And now there's a man from Macedonia, that's Macedonia, Philippi, over here saying, come over here and help us. And most people, most commentators tend to believe, I tend to believe it, that what this vision is about is Luke, the medical doctor, for whatever reason, was over here in Troas. Maybe he had heard about Paul. Maybe Paul needed a doctor. We don't know that part of the story. But Paul is Luke is with Paul in Troas. And after they've met at night, Paul goes to sleep in the middle of the night. Guess who he can't get out of his mind in his dreams? Some guy from Macedonia. Probably who? Probably Luke. Probably maybe over lunch that day at the local Starbucks or whatever, Luke had said, hey, Paul, you won't believe what's going on over in Philippi. Man, it's a booming town. There's a big educational facility, medical school there, but no one knows Christ there. And Paul goes to bed that night. Maybe as he's praying before he goes to bed, he falls asleep. But sometime he gets in his mind, in his heart, he can't shake what Luke has told him about. And that vision is, the guy in the vision is Luke saying, hey, we need someone over here to share the gospel. And here's what I learned. I learned that the Spirit of God leads us by the burdens he puts upon our heart. You know, through prayer, through people that come into our lives. You ever had that? You ever walk by someone and say, you know, someone ought to help them? And maybe God is saying, yeah, you're the one that ought to go over there and help them. You ever pass someone maybe on the road, it's a little tougher maybe to do it nowadays, someone with a flat tire, say, I should stop and help. Let me pull back and go do that. You ever do that? That may be the Spirit of God speaking to you. And there's someone you just met putting a little burden on your heart. I was in Cleveland several years ago. Tigers were down there playing. Went down and we did a Bible study during the week in the hotel at one of the guys' rooms. And afterwards, me and one of the guys went out to lunch. And we went to Subway, downtown Cleveland Subway. Guy's making all this money, can't take me to somewhere nicer. Come on, man, what's up with that? Subway. No, that's good. But we go to Subway. And as we go to Subway, we walk through a park where there's just 25 homeless people. And that's where they hang out, in that part of downtown Cleveland. So we walk through there, we go to Subway, we get our little 6 inches or whatever and have a nice meal. And both of us, it was like, man, that was tough to walk through the little park there. And the Spirit of God just said, well, why don't you guys do something? And so we were able to both buy a bunch of subs, some drinks, and on the way back just dropped them off for the guys and women there in the park. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God. I wish I listened to him that way all the time. Too many times I'll just kind of go, oh, look at that. Okay, let's go about our business. And we miss the Spirit of God putting people, circumstances, things into our life, burdens upon our heart, him speaking to us as we're praying and saying, hey, I'm leading you here right now. Do something about it. Folks, that's when living the Christian life gets exciting. when the Spirit of God is leading us into adventures that are kind of out of our comfort zone. The book of Acts is all about that. And here with Paul. Yes, Paul, humanly speaking, he'd been thrilled to go up here to preach. He'd been thrilled to be down here preaching. But the Spirit of God takes him right there to the edge of the water. He got nowhere else to go. And look what it says. Verse 10. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we, Luke's with him. And this is not Paul making the decision all by himself. They all kind of get the consensus, hey, this is where we ought to be going. We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called, there's us, to preach the gospel to them. And note in that little passage, the Trinity's mentioned. Did you see it? Up in verse number 6, the Holy Spirit. Down in verse number 7, the Spirit of Jesus. And now in verse number 10, God the Father is mentioned. All leading in a Christian's life. And so, if I want to live my life with the Spirit of God leading me like He did the early church in the book of Acts, first, I need to have godly people in my life that I'm listening to. Second, I need to be sensitive to how the Spirit of God is speaking to me through prayer, through people that come into my life or circumstances that arise, or through burdens that He puts in my life. And then the third part of the story, let's go down to verse number 11. What else does God use to lead us? Verse number 11. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace. So they leave here, Troas, and they're going over here to this little island where number 4 is, Samothrace. And that distance across water is 156 nautical miles. So that's how far they're going. Later in the book of Acts, they make the trip in reverse. And it took them from there to there 5 days. Here it says they made a direct trip. The idea is, man, the winds were helping. So probably was like a 3-day trip on the open water, going across, normally a 5-day trip, but the winds were favorable. They zip across. They land at Samothrace, and the following day they go to Neapolis. And then from there it's 10 miles to Philippi. And then we went to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. So a lot of Roman soldiers were here. We remained in that city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Now, Paul's normal method of operation, we went to a city to preach the gospel on the Sabbath, was to go where? Where would he normally go? Synagogue. He'd go to the place where the Jewish people met to worship. It was required in order for there to be a synagogue in a city, there had to be 10 Jewish males. The fact that there's not a synagogue mentioned here at Philippi makes a logical conclusion that there was a very low Jewish population in this city, mostly a Gentile population, no synagogue in this city. And Paul knew and people knew that when there wasn't a synagogue, often those who wanted to worship God would go to a place of water, a lake, a river, a sea, something close to that city if there was one. And so Paul kind of knew, hey, let's go to check out the river, see if there's any people meeting down there. So he goes down to the riverside. Verse 14, one who heard him was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. Here's a businesswoman. Now, this is so cool. Guess where Thyatira is? It's right over here back in Asia where Paul wanted to go to take the gospel. But it's like God knew, didn't he? God says, hey, Paul, I don't want you going down here right now. I want you going over here so you can meet a woman from here and share the gospel with her. And that woman, Lydia, after she comes to Christ and returns back home, guess what she does? She's going to go influence people for Christ. And, you know, we sometimes think we have it all figured out, don't we? But God knows it so much better than we do. If we would just listen to His leading, even when it seems like it doesn't make sense to us, God is saying, I know what I'm doing. You just need to follow the leading of my Spirit. And so Lydia's over there. She hears Paul preach. Verse 14 going on, it says, the Lord opened her heart. I love that statement. To pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. You know what I learned here? That if I want the Spirit of God to lead in my life, I need to listen to the Word of God. Did you hear what it said about Lydia in there? It's a great statement in verse number 14. God opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul had said, and Paul was preaching God's Word. If we want to be people that see God's Spirit lead in our lives and the life of our church, we need to be people that are faithful to, number one, proclaim God's Word, and number two, listen to God's Word. That's what we're called to do. Paul wasn't talking business with Lydia. Paul was sharing the Word of God, sharing salvation through Christ with her. And God used that to bless in wonderful ways. And Lydia, by God's grace, her heart was opened, and she listened to God's Word. You know, a wonderful prayer for you and for me would always be to say, Lord, open my heart to listen to your Word. One of the best lessons that I ever received on having a quiet time was this. Here's how I used to do my quiet time. I'd open up my Bible, I would read, whether it was planned reading or a devotional book, whatever it was. But let's say I read a chapter, and I read that chapter, that's pretty good. Then I put the Bible aside and say, okay, I'm going to now take my 15 minutes or whatever and pray. And maybe even have a prayer list. And that was fine. That's how I would do it. So here I would let God kind of speak to me, then I would go and speak to God. Here's what changed my Bible reading and my prayer life. When I learned that as I'm reading God's Word and as He's talking to me, I should be answering and responding back to Him right then in prayer. So if I'm reading something about being kind and compassionate, maybe I ought to stop right then and say, God, I heard what you said. And Lord, I'm not kind and compassionate as often as I need to be. Help me to be. Or redeeming the time. Lord, I really have wasted a lot of time this week doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing or could have been doing something more important for eternity. Hey, help me to do better this next week. See the difference? We do no other conversation in life. If two or three of us get together and go to talk about stuff, maybe the last weekend, the sports or whatever, we don't just go, okay, your turn to talk, okay, your turn to talk, okay, your turn to talk. We don't do that. But we have give and take in our conversations, don't we? If you come home and husband and wife are together, hey, honey, how was your day? You talk for the next 20 minutes, and then after that, you be quiet, I'll talk for 20 minutes. We don't do that. We have back and forth in our conversations. So why then do we go with God and say, okay, God, I'll read your Bible for 15 minutes, then I'll shut it, put it aside. Now, God, I'm going to talk for 15 minutes. We shouldn't do that. But somewhere along the way, we kind of got, well, that's how I'll do it. And Paul is having this interaction as the Spirit of God is leading him. There's godly counsel going on. The Spirit of God is using that. There's burdens and circumstances and prayer going on. And the Spirit of God is leading Paul and these other people through that. And then God's Word. As God's Word is proclaimed and they're true to this book, the Spirit of God is leading them. And so, folks, the book of Acts ends in 62 AD, and it's 28 chapters long. But the story of the working of the Holy Spirit does not end there, should not end there. That work should still be going on today in your life and in my life through the church. And so I ask you, are you like Eli Manning? Hey, God, I don't like that play. Give me another one. Or, God, I can't hear. Well, we can hear, and we need to trust the one who's calling the plays and letting His Spirit lead in our lives. Father, thanks for how the Spirit of God entered the world in a new and different way at Pentecost. Certainly in who He is as a God, He was here and active before then. But at Pentecost, when He came to indwell those who are followers of Christ and to seal us when we have been born again, Father, I pray that we would not let that be a person who does not have influence and direction and leadership in our lives. But I pray we would allow the one who walks alongside of us, who lives inside of us, to call the plays, to call the shots, and might we be a people obedient to him, and through that, see the boldness and the power that the early church in the book of Acts had. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How you guys doing? Good to see you today, man. Nice to see you. See you, man.